This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a chance today to look at things from another perspective. So often we hear World War II vets on this program remembering the more than 400,000 Americans who never came home from the war. But today we're learning about some of the fallen. And in their individual stories are reflected so many common themes and attributes that are really applicable to so many more of those courageous Americans who gave their lives for our freedom. Jack Kermaine was one of them, a Marine killed aboard the USS Oklahoma at Pearl Harbor 77 years ago. Jack's remains have gone unidentified until this year. That's three quarters of a century of agony and uncertainty, as underscored by a letter the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency recently provided to his family. We'll hear more from another one of Jack's nieces, Elaine Holliday, in a moment. But here's Donna Morin reading a letter her mother wrote to the President of the United States 17 years after losing her brother on the first day of the war.
Okay, it's dated December 4th, 1958. Dear Mr. President, may I introduce myself? I am the former Miss Joan Kermaine, now Mrs. Willis Creamer, age 23 and mother of four. It has long been upon my heart to seek information of my only brother, PFC Alva Jack Kermaine, United States Marines. He was stationed at Pearl Harbor aboard the USS Oklahoma on the day of December 7, 1941. Jack was reported missing on that fateful day, and earlier that year, my 11-year-old sister died with polio. In September of 1941, my other sister was married and moved thousands of miles away to her new home. This left me the only child of four to remain at home and just the age of five. Cutting our family of six down to three in such a manner has left my parents unable to talk of the family that was. This is why I have turned to you. I do so long to know my brother and of his ship. What became of it? Was he on board? How old he was? How long he was a Marine? And what was his tour of duty? Is his resting place at sea, or is he among the many buried on land and unknown? The only picture I have of Jack is a mental one, of him bursting through the front door of our Colorado home, sweeping me into his arms, and saying, "Hi, brat." An insult to a little girl, but now a treasured memory. I hope someone of your staff will be able to find information of my loved one and is able to answer my longing heart. God bless and keep our boys, and world peace be my prayer. Mrs. Willis E. Creamer, Madera, California.
And so, until the government gave you this folder, you never knew that letter existed?
No, I didn't. It was a shock.
Yeah, what goes through your mind? I mean, do you imagine yourself in your mother's shoes when you read that?
Yes, I do, because this was 1958, and it's been several years past his death, and she's still wanting answers to her questions, and I can't imagine them telling a five-year-old at the time, you know, details about her brother's death, but now she's 23 and still wants answers, and it kind of tore at my heart.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems like a letter like that helps underscore how important and valuable a development this is for him to be identified.
Yes, it was very important to the family that they wanted some answers, and it just seemed like there wasn't a lot of information given. So now we are, you know, generation after the fact, finding out the answers that our family would have liked to had.
And Elaine, I thought of one more thing to ask you. In this time, since this big news has come to you, have you ever found yourself wondering, oh, what if my mother hadn't contributed her DNA? What if she said, it's a long time ago, it doesn't matter anymore?
Oh, I can't imagine her doing that. But thankfully, she didn't. I'm glad she kept pursuing this and kept it foremost in all of our minds. Oh, what a great country we live in. I just want the young children to know what happened on this date and to remember.
Well, you say that. You want the children to remember. Has any of this maybe changed your perspective?
We've always been a very, very patriotic family. Our parents made sure we knew and respected those that had served. And so we need to pass that on down to my grandchildren and their grandchildren.
And I don't know if this is a fair question or not, but I'm just going to ask it.
on December 7th when the flag is on the casket and they're playing Taps. What do you think you're going to be thinking about?
That they're all in heaven together, our family that's gone before us. And that they're looking down and saying, okay, children, you tried to do your best, and we're happy with you.
Well, I certainly will try to keep names and dates on my pictures for a future generation to know of things. You know, I'll try and be the great historian that my grandmother's been so that future generations have the answers.
Speaking of your grandmother, there's a photo of her over there, and that's taken at the Punch Bowl, National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific, one of the most beautiful places in Honolulu. They have the Courts of the Missing, where they list the names of all Americans in the Pacific who were not recovered. She's there with her hand next to his name, which I understand from here on out will look a little different if we go to visit there.
They're supposed to place a rosette by the names of those that were now identified. So next time we go, maybe we'll see a rosette by his name.
Well, and I asked Elaine about her mother. I bet you've considered what this would mean to your grandmother as well, Jack's mom.
Oh, yeah. She was very involved in American War Mothers and continued to be opening her home to servicemen. And she, as the War Mothers, was a representative to Fresno's Veterans Hospital. And she made many visits there to soldiers. And it was very important to her to serve those veterans. I think my family would be proud that we've been able to lay him to rest in the manner that he should be laid to rest. And I hope it's a pleasing service to the family. We're really proud to have this closure. It means a lot to the family.
And while Jack Cremaine's family will experience that closure on December 7th when he's given full military honors, the family of another Marine, Dwight Randall of Fresno, California, will have that moment November 20th, 75 years after he was killed in the Battle of Tarawa. Here's one of his nieces, Linda Gist, who grew up hearing stories of her heroic uncle.
I heard about it all the time from my grandma and my dad and my mother. They loved him. He was only a young man when he was killed, so he really never had a chance to be bad. So he was always the good one in the family, which was nice. And it was always kind of sad. We always knew about him in the back of our mind, and my grandma always had the Gold Star mother in the window, and she was very proud of him. And his other brothers were in the military, too. But if you've never met them, then you really kind of don't know anything about it. And one of my nephews was really a World War II buff, and he started kind of trying to figure out what happened, and he got on a couple websites looking, and then we got involved with this Facebook page, the Tarawa MIA Families, and got on that, and they started recovering the bodies and identifying them from Tarawa and the Oklahoma. So when they finally notified us, which was in October, that they identified him, they got a hold of us, I was kind of shocked. And I didn't really know how I felt about it because we had never met him. And then the more we found out about him and the more we found out my grandmother had written these letters and my aunts, it was kind of sad. So he's going to be buried next to my dad, his brother. And so it will be my grandfather, my grandmother, and then my dad, and then Dwight. So it's kind of exciting to know that that's where he's going to be. He'll be with his family. So he got returned and everyone's affected. I think everybody in our family is affected by it. And all my cousins, who I haven't seen some of them in years, are all back together again. And the MIA POW agency, they're flying three of them in, at all expenses paid, to come to the service. So kind of neat. I've never been to a military service, so I'm looking forward to going. They're going to have a 21-gun salute. So I now found out the meaning between that. I didn't know what a 21-gun salute meant, that it was a sum total of 1776. I've also learned about why we fold the flag the way we do. So there's a lot of things that we're all learning about it. I'm fascinated what a brotherhood the Marine Corps has. It's unbelievable. And what our government does to bring home soldiers that have fallen, I had no idea.
Yeah, it sounds like you've learned a lot through this process. And I want to talk about the things you've learned that really don't have specifically to do with your uncle, but also about your uncle. How much more have you learned about him, who he was, what he did, and why he matters 75 years after he was killed?
He graduated from Roosevelt in 1939. One of the people from the MIA, I think, found his picture on Ancestry.com in the yearbook and sent it to us, which was fascinating. He worked for Dale Brothers Coffee, which was a local firm here in town. Made $30 a week, which I also thought was interesting. When he enlisted about 40 days after Pearl Harbor, and he was paid $70 a month. I find that really fascinating because I'm not too sure how many people today would take a cut and pay to go in the service. He applied to be a radio man, and that's one reason he was one of the first ones that was killed, because he was in, they called them alligators, landing vehicle. It had tracks on it, so they could get over the reef in Tarawa, where the other ones couldn't. They got hung up on the reef, and they had to wade in. But because he had a radio antenna on it, they figured that they were some of the first ones that were killed. And from what I understand, my nephew had contacted one of the other families, and they think that their uncle was on the same amphibious vehicle as our uncle, and they called it Little Beans because the guy called all of his guys that he worked with his Little Beans. We're meeting a lot of people, too. That's another thing that's amazing. They go to each other's funerals. This one lady that's on Facebook, she flies to him. They're going to the ceremonies in Tarawa. There's a ceremony in Tarawa on the 20th, and there's also a big one at the Punch Bowl.
You just described, you know, what had happened to your uncle there, when and where he was killed and why. Now, did you know those details before, or did you just know, hey, this was this guy I never met who died in a war I don't really remember?
I knew he was a radio man because my father talked about it, but that's about all I knew. I had no idea that the battle was 76 hours and that we lost over 1,000 Marines in 76 hours, most of them the very first day. There was like 6,000 Japanese on the island, and it wasn't really an island. It was 800 yards wide at its widest point, 2.5 miles long. I had no idea how small it was. So they had like close to 6,000 Marines, Japanese Marines is what they called them. They had 1,000 Korean laborers that were forced laborers. And when it was all over, the Japanese and the Koreans were almost all dead. The Japanese didn't want to surrender. We had 35,000 troops. And that's what I could not believe. There was 35,000 people that were attacking, both Marines and Navy. So 1,000 of them got killed. They said more Marines were killed in this battle than any other battle in the time frame of the war. More were killed in Guadalcanal, but it was a 5-month period.
So you're learning more about the military history there, the battle, what your uncle's role was in it. I guess the one thing you did know before this last month was the effect it had on your grandmother to lose him, one of her 10 children, is that right?
Yes. It was one of the middle children, and it was a terrible on my grandmother. She was really affected. No one wants to lose a child. I can't imagine how that made her feel. I was told by the other brothers and sisters that she changed because of it, and I know she mourned him when I was young, so he always had his picture on the wall, and it was always, you know, honored. She always celebrated his birthday, so you know, you just don't forget your kids.
Well, and since you've gotten all this material from the government, that's even included letters that your grandmother wrote the government? What do those letters say, and what kind of feel do you get from reading some of that correspondence?
My daughter read one of the ones my grandma wrote, where she's asking the Marine Corps if she could have a picture of his grave, and my daughter was really emotional. Now, she really didn't know anything about Dwight, and she just said it was so sad, and my grandma wrote several letters, and the Marine Corps was very, very nice. They always answered. They always replied, tried to reassure that, you know, they were going to try to identify him.
But your grandmother died not knowing if her son would ever be identified.
Well, my grandma and my grandpa both have passed away, and all of his siblings. So no one knew that we recovered him. So if they're in heaven, they'll know it, hopefully. We don't know, but, you know, it's kind of like you kind of hope that. I was shocked. But I didn't think then they identified him. Everything was just, that was it. You know, we knew where he was and everything. I had no idea that we were going to have the service, that it was a big deal, that that was what they were going to do. That just flabbergasted me. I still am taken back by what they're going to do. The thing that I like is our country, they said, they will not leave a soldier if they can find them and bring them home. They'll go to the ends to bring them home because that's an agreement they made with the soldier when they enlisted. And Dwight, when they prepare him to bring him home, a Marine will stay with him from Hawaii to the States and stay with him until he's buried. So he has an escort the whole entire time. It's pretty amazing. I pretty neat country.
Yeah, that's kind of unique, isn't it?
Yes, it's the only country in the world that does it. They fly in three relatives. They pay for their airfare to the services. They pay for two nights lodging. It's just really fascinating what they do, you know. I think it's a pretty great country that, you know, if they ask you to fight for them in those days, people willingly wanted to help our country because we were attacked, that the country cares enough, even 75 years later, to bring them home. It kind of makes you proud to be a citizen.
So, I mean, does it also tell you that what your uncle did, his sacrifice, is not forgotten, that it means something 75 years later?
Yes, I think all of the guys that sacrificed in any of the wars, it means a lot to people because I feel that we're free because of them. I'm thinking that if Japan and Germany had won the war, we would have a total different government. And the situations that we have today would certainly not be the way it is. We can have our own opinions and say what we want to say because they fought for us and we're free.
Well, that's really the bottom line, isn't it? Linda Gist and her family will honor her uncle Dwight Randall November 20th, 75 years after he was killed on Tarawa. We'll hear more from Linda when we come back, plus a resource for other families who may find themselves in the very same situation these families faced for all those years. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.